Okay, by a raise of hands. And by the way, I came prepared. I have candy. I came prepared. There we go. So who can tell me what Bible story, what Bible character are we going to be talking about tonight? Everyone get it? Yeah. We are going to talk about Jonah and the whale, and we're giving out candy right at the beginning of service. And I'm sorry, I will truly work on being a better thrower. It was shown last time I preached that it just wasn't there, and it's still not there, so I apologize. But we're going to be diving into the book of Jonah tonight. And a lot of people, when you first hear about Jonah, you think of Jonah being swallowed by the whale. Jonah spending 3 days in the great fish or the whale, whatever you may want to call it. But the question I asked myself as I was looking at this Bible story is, how did we get here? Do you ever find yourself at a point in life where you're just sitting there asking yourself, man, how did I get here? And I look at getting into that, and I look forward to diving into the scripture tonight. We're going to be starting in verse 1 of chapter 1 in the book of Jonah. And the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And the Lord will use our lives to bring honor and glory to himself. And there's many people in this world that are seeking for what is their purpose. Why am I here on this earth? If you go to schools, you go to higher education, they're pondering this question of why are we here? What is the whole purpose of all of this? But the great thing as Christians is we don't have to have that worry or have that question in our mind. Because the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 21, the Lord says, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." The Lord tells us what our purpose is on this earth. The Lord created us that we would bring him honor and glory for his namesake, to lift him high up and to tell others about him. And as Christians, we know our purpose. But I want to take a step back and look at the life of Jonah and ask ourselves, are we fulfilling our purpose? Are we living our lives to bring glory to God every day? Or like Jonah, are we fleeing the purpose of the Lord in our life? And tonight I want to look at three attitudes that separated Jonah from God's purpose for his life. And number one was Jonah's rebellion towards God. And we see that the Lord clearly commands Jonah that he is to go to Nineveh. And I don't know how much you guys know about Old Testament history, but Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. I believe we have a picture of Nineveh, and it is a huge city. There is a huge wall surrounding it. It is fortified, as you can see. And the Lord tells Jonah, I want you to go here. I specifically want you to go minister to these people. But the funny thing is Jonah starts making his way to Tarshish. And if you look on a map, in that time, Tarshish was about as far away from Nineveh as you can get. You see that Nineveh is 550 miles to the northeast. Tarshish is 2,500 miles to the west. In the known world, Jonah was literally running as far away as he could from the call of God. It was a clear command. It was a simple command to go. But we see that Jonah blatantly disobeyed it. And this is a question for the kids in the room. How do things usually go for you when you blatantly disobey your parents? Tell us how it is. Joanna, tell us how it is.
You get in trouble, mm-hmm. And then you wish you didn't do it.
Yep.
And then you keep regretting it.
Yep.
But they have to tell you to do that.
Exactly.
And then you keep getting in trouble. And then,
this sounds like a long process. But yes, it doesn't end well when we disobey our parents. And as we're going to find out, it did not end well for Jonah when he disobeyed God. And I'm sure he also soon regretted that he ever disobeyed the Lord. But what struck me about this passage is as Christians, many times we do the same thing. When we feel the Lord leading or guiding in our lives, maybe it's to tell someone at the workplace about Christ. Maybe it's to tell someone at school about Christ. Maybe it's to step out and increase our giving for the work of the Lord. Maybe it's to step up and become more involved in more ministries. There's always those excuses in our back pocket of maybe they don't want to hear about it, Lord. I don't want to offend anyone. Or, Lord, you see my bills. You see what I'm working with here. Or maybe it's, God, you know I don't have any time for my family already. How am I going to step up and fulfill this need? And it's fear that keeps us from following the clear commands of God. But the second thing I want to look at is letter B, Jonah had an evasive escape. Jonah was not only trying to escape the command of God by not going to Nineveh and going to Tarshish. It says in verse 3 that he was fleeing the very presence of the Lord. And this kind of boggles my mind because I imagine Jonah being a prophet, walking with God, speaking for the Lord. How did he get to the very place where he's fleeing the presence of God? And as a prophet, wouldn't he know that God is omniscient and God is omnipresent? God knows all things. God is present everywhere at all times. Wouldn't he know this? But don't we oftentimes do the same thing when we do wrong to someone else? If you think about it, if you have a coworker and you know you said something, you did something that you shouldn't have done, you feel guilty about it. You feel shame about it. And you'll all of a sudden find yourself starting to avoid that person. You won't talk to them. You won't go around them, not because you're still mad at them, but because you know what you did was still wrong. And I know for me personally, in my personal walk with God, and I think if we're honest, all of us could say the same, when we're not following the commands of God, it gets a lot harder to be in our Bible. It gets a lot harder to spend prayer time with God when we know that we're not following the things that he has commanded us to do. And we see because Jonah was not happy with what God had called him to do, he not only was fleeing the command or the decision that God had given him, he's trying to run away from the very Lord that created him. And the same is true too often times for us. We fall behind, we commit a sin, and all of a sudden our Bible reading starts to fade, our prayer life starts to fade because we feel this guilt, we feel this shame. But I'm sorry, our sin was paid for at the cross. Amen. And the Lord, the Bible says that if we ask for repentance, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But as we see, Jonah couldn't put the shame behind him. But as Christians, we have to put the shame behind us when we fall behind and to continue to draw to the Lord because there is no escaping God or the presence of him. And secondly, not only was Jonah rebellious towards God, not only was he running from the Lord himself, Jonah was reckless towards men. Jonah was reckless towards men. We read in verse 4, the Bible says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah." We see not only is Jonah running away from the Lord here, he's telling God, I'm not going to do what you say. And we would never tell God that directly. But don't our actions say it sometimes? We would never tell God, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. But there's so many times where the Holy Spirit is pricking and prodding our heart. And we silence it. We quench the Spirit to go on about what we're doing. But Jonah was reckless towards these men. If you look, the mariners on the ship were scared. They were fearful. They had no idea what to do. They were afraid this boat was going to sink and that they were going to go under. And I know it is so interesting to me in Scripture. When there's difficulties, when there's trials that come for the people of the world, who do they often go to in the Scripture? They go to the servants of God. I think of Abraham, I think of Moses, I think of Elijah, I think of Elisha, I think of Christ himself, Paul, Peter, you name the servant of God. When troubles came, when trials came, They were asking the men of God, what's going on? What does your God have to say about this? They were frantic, and there's a world that's frantic tonight. I couldn't help as I was driving to the airport, driving the mixes to the airport today. I kept looking to the side as I was sitting in the back seat of the car. And just, I don't know why it never hit me, but there's an individual person in each car you're driving by. And yes, it seems simple, but when you realize there's a life and there's a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere in every single car you drive by or every single car that's on the road, that struck me. Because they're all looking for something. And they'll seek and they'll ask questions of servants of God. But they have to be able to see by our life that we're serving God first. And if we're not serving God and we're not being a good reflection of Christ, no one's going to see us as any different from the world. But not only were the men frantic, but we see Jonah was the slumbering servant. While the storm was raging, everyone was looking for answers. And the only man that had them was below deck asleep. And when I think of this passage, they're all frantically searching. They're all running around the ship. They don't know what to do. And the prophet of the Lord, the servant of God, the one that is supposed to be able to give them the message of hope, he's nowhere to be found. He's fast asleep. And one day I was at college, and my sophomore year was a very, very busy time in my life. I was working on average about 60 hours a week and doing classes as well. And I remember one night I had a paper due, and I got about 2 hours of sleep that night. I came home from work, got home around 2 a.m., worked on my paper till about 5 a.m. and woke up for classes at 7. And I went to class and, you know, we prayed, began class, and I'm trying to listen, but if I'm being honest, I'm gone. I'm tired. I'm passed out, and all of a sudden my teacher asked me a question. And all I heard him say is, "What do you think, Noah?" And I look up, my eyes shot up, I'm wide awake now, and I'm like, oh, I'm trying to piece together what he said. I have no idea. I was gone. I was out. And so I ask him, what was your question again, sir? And he asked me the question. I couldn't even tell you what it was. I was still half asleep. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't even know the terms he's using. And so I was at that moment, I realized I missed my chance. As a student there, I had a responsibility to learn and to understand the doctrines of the Bible. But in that very moment, I had failed my responsibility as a student. But I believe the same can be said for many Christians today. There's people that are frantic searching for answers. They're looking around. They want to know, why are we here? What is my purpose here on this earth? But so many Christians are asleep, or we're focused on ourselves, that we're not giving the answers. We're failing as witnesses for Christ because we're asleep below deck. And it is such a convicting statement if you just think about all the lives that we have the chance, the opportunity to impact every single day. Just think about the number of coworkers at your workplace, or think of the number of people that you see at the store that you have the opportunity to witness to. But how many times do we witness to them? And we fall short, we become reckless with the lives of men. But thirdly, I want to look at Jonah's realization of self. In Jonah's consideration of his calling, we see in verse 8, and the Bible says, "Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." And what I love about verse 8 is they start by asking Jonah questions. They said, okay, Jonah, we know you're the reason this all is going on, but they start asking questions. And the reason I love that is because that's the first thing that we're taught at Bible college in our preaching classes, and Chandler can attest. You're taught, ask questions. Why? Because statements accuse, questions convict. If you walk up to someone and you ask, and you know, maybe they stink a little bit, and you tell them, man, why don't you shower? You know, you stink, why don't you shower? How's that going to go over? If I walk up to you and I feel like you did something that you shouldn't have done, I'm like, man, why aren't you reading your Bible? You wouldn't have done that if you weren't reading your Bible. No. No one's ever going to do that. But what do, even as a parent? You ask questions. Okay, how were your devotions this morning? How was your Bible reading this morning? You ask questions because if you say a statement, it's absolutely feels like an accusation to that person and they shut down. But if you ask a question, it makes them think. And when someone starts thinking, that's when the Holy Spirit is able to get involved and to work in their heart. But how long has it been since we've considered our calling in Christ? Because we see Jonah had absolutely no thought of what the Lord wanted him to do. Jonah was content and going into that ship and going down to the bunker and going to sleep. But when they started asking him, man, what do you do? Where are you from? He says, I'm in Hebrew. I fear the Lord. I'm a prophet of God. But how oftentimes can we go through life and we tend to forget what our calling is in the Lord? We start going through the motions day by day, and we start going to work, we come home, we eat, we go to sleep, we get up, we repeat, without ever thinking about what the Lord has called us to do, without ever thinking about how God would have us to live this day. But when we take a step back and consider our calling, it allows us to step back in line with what God has been directing us to do. And through the end of this chapter, the men go back and forth. Are we going to throw him into the water? Are we not going to go throw him into the water? Are we going to throw him into the water? Maybe, yeah, no, yet. Yeah. They throw him into the water. They go back for verses, and eventually they throw him into the water because they realize this is the only way that they will survive. But I love what verse 16 says. The Bible says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Whoa. Jonah, by disobeying the Lord still brought glory to himself. And that's what struck me about this passage, is we can live our life in any kind of way, and the Lord will get the glory from it. The Lord will work it for his good. But at what cost in our life? Think about Jonah, a prophet of God, walked with God, knew the scriptures, and all of a sudden, the Lord has to literally prepare a great fish, a whale, to swallow him and to hold him for 3 days. And the question is, what will it take for the Lord to get a hold of us in our lives? I hope the Lord doesn't have to bring us into isolation in the belly of a whale in the middle of a sea for 3 days. And I don't know what that whale would be in each of our lives, but friend, let's not get there. When I think of the life of Jonah, I think Jonah causing the Lord so much grief just by making wrong decision after wrong decision. And we may ask ourselves, why did the Lord have to do all that just to bring himself the honor and glory? And the answer is because there was a rogue prophet. There was a prophet that did not want to fulfill the call of God on his life. And what I fear sometimes is that we have Christians that want to live for themselves and they don't want to fulfill the call of God in our lives. It's easy to live selfishly. It's easy to live life day by day for self and to do what we want to do. But at what cost for the cause of Christ? And I encourage us today, as we look back on this great, great story, oftentimes we think that it is for kids, and it is for kids. It is a great lesson for children, but it's a great lesson for us to look and reevaluate our relationship with the Lord, to look back and reevaluate our relationship. How are we giving the gospel? How are we telling the good news to others? How are we living amongst men? But finally, how are we living in accordance with what God has told us to do? Because if all three of those things fall in line, and everyone in this room was able to step up and be totally right with God moving forward for the cause of Christ, could you imagine how the Lord would bless this church? And it is convicting to me when I heard this statement, what kind of church would the church be if every member that was attending was just as faithful as you are? If they did the same things that you do, and obviously we know as the body of Christ, we all have different gifts. We all have different things that the Lord wants us to do and that the Lord has gifted us to do for his cause. But are we doing them for God's honor and glory? Are we doing them at all? Are we serving the Lord where he has put us today? I don't know what stage of life we may be in, what we are looking to do with our lives, but I know when we lose sight of our relationship with God, when we lose sight of our relationship with others, and when we lose sight of what the Lord has called us to do, it brings heartache. And the Lord will get honor and glory from your life. But I'm praying and I'm begging that you would take a step back and choose to be on the right side of that story. Amen. No one wants to be remembered as a Jonah. No one wants to look back and tell the horror story or tell the story of how God had to break them to mold them. Be moldable today. Follow the Lord today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord, and thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word, Father. And Lord, I pray that there's Christians in the room today, Lord, that are willing to just humble themselves and get their eyes back on you, Father. And Lord, I love this place and I love this body of believers, Father. But Lord, we have to constantly be reevaluating ourselves to make sure we are doing what you have called us to do, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to be obedient to the Spirit, dear God. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us and guide us and strengthen us in all wisdom and truth, Father. Lord, help us to dive into the Word. Help us to spend time in prayer with you. Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we leave and as we fellowship, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen.